When the Lord puts it into your heart to ask a hard thing. When the Lord puts it into your heart to ask a hard thing. I want to go to two passages of scripture. I want to go to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. And when you have Mark chapter 10, 2 Kings chapter 2. Mark chapter 10 and 2 Kings chapter 2. Again, we're speaking this morning on when the Lord puts it into your heart to ask a hard thing. Look at me at Mark chapter 10. We're going to look at one verse, and that's verse 27. And Jesus, looking upon them, saith, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. For with God all things are possible. Now go with me to 2 Kings chapter 2. We're going to begin reading at verse 9. And it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he says, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it and cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more, and he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. He took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of the Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he had smitten the waters and they parted hither and thither, and Elijah went over. Amen. When the Lord puts it into your heart to ask a hard thing. In 2 Kings chapter 2, Elijah is on a journey. The Spirit of the Lord is leading Elijah from Gilgal to a very specific place with a very specific purpose. And yet at the same time, this prophet Elijah is leading Elisha on a journey. That he, by the Spirit of the Lord, Elisha is on a journey and Elijah is leading him on this journey. Elisha is a man that understands the desperateness of the times that he's living in. And he understands that the hand of God and the call of God is upon his life. So Elisha has left home, he's left mother, he's left family to go and minister to Elijah and one day stay and minister in Elijah's place. And what's happening on this journey is there's a question being asked and answered. And the question is simply, Elisha, how far are you willing to follow God? Elisha, do you have a cutoff point in following the Lord? Elisha, is there a limitation to your following the Lord? Elisha, are you willing to go with the Lord and fulfill His purpose upon your life? Are you willing to go all the way with the Lord, no matter what the cost? Elisha. That's the question that's being answered in this man's heart on this journey. And beloved, this is a very important question that needed to be answered. Because Elijah is about to go and be with the Lord. And the times, the dark times, the desperate times that the people of the Lord are in, what God needs is a vessel. He needs a vessel with one thing in his heart, one thing burning in his heart. And that is a deep love for the Lord and a focus upon the will of God. Fully focused upon the will of God and fulfilling that will no matter what the cost is. See, in the times Elisha was living in, anything less than 100% would not suffice. In needing Elisha to do what God needed Elisha to do in the times that he was living in, brothers and sisters. It had to be all or nothing. He had to have all of Elisha or nothing, because that was the time that Elisha was living in. So Elijah leads Elisha on this journey, and we know the story. Elisha does follow Elijah to the journey's end. He perseveres through all the grief. He perseveres through all the discouragement. And he follows Elijah to the journey's end. Now, some of us right here might say, well, what discouragement are you talking about? What grief did Elisha have to endure to follow the journey's end? Well, brothers and sisters, if you remember, there were just certain points in this journey that voices would come out to Elisha and say, Elisha, do you not know that the Lord is going to take your master from you? Do you not know that? Brothers and sisters, these were very grievous voices, very painful voices. Because ultimately what these voices are saying is this, Elisha, do you not understand at the end of the journey, all you're going to have is loss? All you're going to have is grief? That when you follow the Lord on this journey, Elisha, the end of the journey is just going to end up in loss. And brothers and sisters, this is why so many of the prophets stood afar off, because they considered the cost to be too great. They were looking at the end of the journey, they were looking at the cost, and the cost was just too great for them to make. And this is why they did not join Elisha on this journey, because it was just a cost that was just too great for them. Understand, this is why many never make it to the journey's end with Christ today. Yes, they go to heaven, but they never possess the fullness of God. They never possess the fullness of the life that God wants to give them. It's because they're always looking at the cost. It's because they understand, listen, if I'm going to go all the way with God, it is going to cost me everything. And that's why there's very few in the church that really enter into the fullness of Christ, because they're not willing to pay the cost. They're not willing to lay their life on that altar. They're not willing to pray the prayer, God, not my will be done, but your will be done. All my dreams, all my agendas, everything of this self-life, I lay it on the altar and I seek your will for my life. Beloved, there's very few people that have sincerely prayed that prayer. Many people sing the song, I surrender all, and wherever he leads, I'll follow. But the reality in the heart lives in just a very few because of the cost. And so many stand back and they're looking at the cost, not willing to pay the cost, because the cost is everything. See, brothers and sisters, in this story, the last place Elijah led Elisha was across the Jordan River. And beloved, the Jordan River, it's a very spiritual place. When you look in the scriptures, you look at the context, wherever the Jordan River is mentioned, you always see somewhere it involves death to self. That's what it involves. It involves death to self. In many places in the scriptures, the Jordan is mentioned. In the context, it involves death to self. And beloved, this is what we have to understand. In order to possess the fullness of Christ, it all resides around this one question. And I want to say that again, because we need to understand it. In order to possess the fullness of Christ, it all resides around this one question. Am I willing to die to all that I am, that Christ may live fully in me? It all resides around that question. Am I willing to allow the Lord to lead me through those places that put self to more death, that Christ may live fuller in me? Am I willing to embrace those places of personal crucifixion that I might decrease so Christ can increase? Beloved, this is why so many never entered into the fullness of Christ in their lives. It's because they consider the cost to be too great. But Elijah made the journey. He crossed the Jordan floor. He embraced the crucified life. He endured through all the grief and the voices of discouragement. And here's the question I want to ask. What is it that took Elisha all the way to the journey's end? To live that life of absolute self-denial. To endure all the grief and the heartache and the discouragement that he had to journey through on this path. What was it that caused him to make it to the journey's end? One word. Elijah. Elijah. Now let me tell you what I mean by that. Elijah was his teacher. Elijah was his mentor. But more than that, Elisha found in Elijah a friend that was more dear to him than a father and a brother. Beloved, it was the communion and the bonding of heart he came into with Elijah that made the journey worth it all. All the grief, all the discouragement, all the voices of heartache, it was walking and talking with Elijah and coming into that heart bond with Elijah, that intimate communion with Elijah that made the journey worth it all for Elisha. It made the journey worth it all. In fact, I want you to look with me at verse 11. There's something here I want us to see. It says, and it came to pass as they still went on and talked. This is after the question, what can I do for you? A double portion. You've asked a hard thing. It says after that, they still went on and they talked. And brothers and sisters, this is what I want us to understand. At this time, there was an aching and a breaking in Elisha's heart because he knew his beloved friend was leaving very shortly. He knew that. And the most important thing to Elisha's heart was squeezing in all the talk and all the heart bonding and all the fellowship he could get in with Elijah. See, beloved, listen to me. When you're about to lose a very close friend, busyness and ministry and work, that just isn't the important thing at the moment. When you are with a friend that you really love, and you know that friend is leaving very shortly, busyness and all these things, that's not what is important at the moment. What is important at the moment is the time that we can spend together squeezing in everything that we can squeeze in before we're departed. And that was what was going on with Elisha. This was a friend that he cherished. The heart bonding, the communion, the fellowship he cherished with Elijah. And right now, ministry and busyness, that wasn't on his heart. That wasn't on his mind. I'm about to lose a friend. He's leaving very soon. And I just want to talk with him. I want to walk with him. That heart bonding, everything that we can talk and fellowship, all the fellowship that we can have before he leaves, that's what's important to my heart because he's a treasured friend. And brothers and sisters, what I'm saying is what brought Elisha to his journey's end is because walking with this man, there was a bonding of heart. There was an intimacy. There was a fellowship together. There was a joining of the hearts. And it was that joining of the heart that took him to the very end. And beloved, this is what I'm saying. It's the communion that we have with Christ that makes the journey worth it all. All the sacrifices, all the dying to self, all the darkness, all the dark days that we have to walk through, all the fires, all the trials, all the difficulties. It's the communion that we have with the heart of Jesus Christ and only that communion that makes the journey worth it all. It's that journey with the Lord. And not only is it just the journey, but it's what we learn about God's heart on the journey. It's the precious things that we learn about God's heart in the journey. Listen, through all the dark times, through all the difficult times, it's His faithfulness. It's His compassion. It's His tenderness. It's His mercy. It's His tender presence in our life, comforting our life. Brothers and sisters, everything we learn about Jesus' heart makes the journey worthwhile. Beloved, every dark time the Lord carries us through, we come out with such a greater intimacy with the presence of the Lord. We remember Joseph. He suffered many things in Egypt. Many things. But the reoccurring phrase in Joseph's story was this, but God was with Joseph. In other words, listen, when Joseph was in Egypt, the only thing he had was the presence of the Lord. But he found what the presence of the Lord was all that he needed. He found in his time where God had him, at that time the presence of the Lord was what he would need it. In those dark, lonely nights, the presence of the Lord would come to his heart. When he needed comfort, the presence of the Lord was there to give him comfort. When he needed strength, the presence of the Lord was there to give him strength. When he needed a shoulder to cry on, in the presence of the Lord, he found a shoulder to cry on. And when he finally came out of that dark prison, he came out with such an intimacy with the presence of the Lord, and that intimacy that he found in those times was priceless to him. Brothers and sisters, I'm simply saying in the dark times, what we learn about God's heart and God's faithfulness makes the journey worth it all. That's what makes the journey worth it all. And so at the journey's end, Elijah now looks at Elisha, and as a father looks at a son, he asks, "Before the Lord takes me away, ask me what you want me to do for you." In other words, really what he's saying to Elijah is this: Elisha, tell me what the deepest desire of your heart is. What is the one prayer that is really weighing heavy on your soul right now? That's what he's asking him. See, Elisha knows. He knows that when he's gone, there's going to be a sense of loneliness for Elisha, especially facing everything he has to face. Listen, Elisha knows when he goes back across the Jordan, everything he's going to have to face, everything he's going to have to deal with. And you know, in his heart, there is a heaviness. There is a struggle going on in his heart. Elijah, you're going, you're leaving me alone, and facing everything I have to face, it's not going to be easy. Elijah knows that. So this is why Elijah looks at Elisha and he says, "Elisha, I'm going to go be with the Lord. So tell me, what is the deepest desire of your heart? What is really the prayer that is on your soul? And as much as possible, I will answer. I will try to give you that." Now, before we look at the answer, here's the question I want to ask. How come Elijah could trust Elisha with such a question? Listen, brothers and sisters, this is not a light question. He just asked Elisha, "Elisha, what is the greatest desire of your heart, the biggest desire of your heart, and I will try to fulfill it?" That's not a light question. "Elisha, what is the one prayer that is weighing on your soul? Tell me, Elisha, and I'll try to fulfill it." It's not a light question. So how could Elijah trust Elisha with such a question? Because he knew Elisha's heart. He knew Elisha had embraced the crucified life. He knew Elisha had truly prayed the prayer in his heart, "God, not my will be done, but your will be done." So Elijah knew that whatever he asked for, it was not going to come out of the self-life. Whatever Elisha asked for, it wasn't going to come out of a motivation of self and self-desires. He knew whatever he asked for, it was going to pertain to the glory of God. He knew whatever he asked for, it was going to pertain with God, "Your will be done in earth as it is in heaven." That's why he could trust him with such a question. So Elisha answers that question. He says, "Elijah, dealing with everything I'm going to have to deal with, I need a double portion of your spirit." And this is what I really believe. A lot of people may look at this and say, "What a pompous request. Oh, how many people pray, 'Oh God, give me your anointing.'" It really comes out of a selfishness of heart. I just want to be a man of faith and power for the hour. Have a name in the church world. But really at the heart of this is a heart of humility. See, I believe with all my heart Elisha is saying this: "Elijah, you're twice the man that I am. Twice the man. And if I'm going to continue to carry the torch that God put in your hands, then I need twice of the spirit that's on you." And I know that feeling, brothers and sisters. As a young pastor, I know that feeling. I look at other pastors and other leaders that have walked with God many years, and their time on this earth is very short. And in my heart, I look at them and I know they're about to pass the torch on, and I have to carry it another generation. And in my heart, I'm thinking, Listen, you're twice the man I am. You're twice the woman of God I am. You're twice. And listen, if I'm going to continue to carry the torch, if we're going to continue to carry the torch, I need more than what you have. That was the heart of Elisha. So he says to Elijah, he says, Elijah, that I may have a double portion. So when Elisha answered that I may have a double portion, what was Elijah's reply? His reply was this: you've asked a hard thing, Elisha. Though there was much compassion in Elisha's heart, because you got to understand this moment that they're in. This man's about to leave. He's about to pass on the torch. And he knows the struggle that's going on in Elisha's heart and everything that Elisha's going to face on the other side of the Jordan. So there's much compassion in his heart. And yet in much compassion, he looks at his son in the faith and he says, you've asked a hard thing. This is a hard thing. But brothers and sisters, I want to take it a little step further. Elisha didn't ask a hard thing. He asked an impossible thing. It's beyond hard. Listen, there's no great leader, no great power in all the earth that can give Elisha one measure of the Spirit of God. It has to come from the hand of God. It has to come through a miracle. A miracle has to be involved here. So he's looking at Elijah and he's saying, Elijah, you've asked a hard thing. No, you asked an impossible thing. But brothers and sisters, this is what is on my heart. Here's what is really on my heart. God put this desire in Elisha's heart. God put this prayer in Elisha's heart. This prayer that says, Elijah, I need a double portion. That was a prayer that God birthed into Elisha's heart because God wanted him to have it. God wanted to give it to him. God wanted him, knowing what he was going to face on the other side of the Jordan, God wanted him to have this, and he put it in Elisha's heart. Brothers and sisters, that's always the way it goes. When you've truly embraced that crucified life, when you've truly laid your life upon the altars, I'm telling you, many of the prayers that are in our heart have been birthed by God because God wants to do it. He wants to do it. And we know the rest of the story. Elijah suddenly whisked in the heaven and the mantle falls and Elisha takes it up, saying, where is the Lord God of Elijah? That is a very deep personal question. In other words, he's saying, Elijah's gone. Is the Lord really with me? Is he really with me? Where is the God of Elijah? Where is he? Is he with me? And then he takes that mantle and he smites the waters. His question is answered. The assurance comes. The water parts. God is with me. And brothers and sisters, in the story, we see what happens is that the mantle of Elijah falls from Elijah and falls to the earth, and Elisha picks it up. Now, brothers and sisters, here's my question. What does this mantle represent to us for New Testament believers? What does it represent? It represents abundant life. It represents the resurrected life of Christ. In abundance. It represents that resurrection life that fills a believer when they've truly embraced the cross. It represents that abundant resurrection life of Christ that truly fills a believer when they are continually decreasing and Christ is continually increasing. That's what it represents. The life. As I embrace the cross, the life that comes out of that. See, the cross, sometimes we can only look at it as an instrument of death. It's not an instrument of death, it's an instrument of life. It's where the very life of God comes from, is in the cross. And this is what those that stand afar off because they're looking at the cross never see. And that's important. Hear me. This is what those that are always standing far off looking at the cost, they never see. All they see is the cost. But they never see the life. And they never see everything that is entailed in that life. They never see the abundant joy. They never see the abundant strength. They never see the abundant fulfillment. They never see the abundant rest. They never see the abundant power and anointing. They never see the abundant presence of Christ in your life because they're always looking at the death and the cost. But it didn't end with death for Elijah. It ended with a mantle. Ended with life, life, and more abundantly. It ended with everything he needed to do the impossible that God called him to do. Amen. Now, here's the question, and this is our conclusion. Many things we can talk about, but I just want to stay on point. It doesn't take many words. Here's the question. These are powerful truths, but in this service today, what does this have to do with me? In this service today, in response to the message, what is it that God wants me to do? Beloved, I believe there are people here this morning. God wants you to believe and ask for the hard thing. God wants you to believe and ask for the impossible thing. What he's put in your heart. Let me ask you a question. What has he put in your heart that you would consider a hard thing? What is it in your heart that would be an impossible thing? God is saying, ask. Because I put it in your heart. For some of us, the hard thing may be this. Jesus, I want more of your life. Jesus, I'm asking that I would continually decrease and you would continually increase. For others, it may be change. Brothers and sisters, I'm going to say this summer, God has really been dealing with my selfish nature. Really dealing with it. He has been putting me in very hard places where I have seen my selfishness rise up. It's like that message we talked about. When God wants to get at an issue, he'll bring circumstances in your life and cause it to rise up. I have really seen the selfishness of my heart. But with that, there's been such a cry in my heart. God, change me. God, don't just deal with me. Change me. For some of us, it may be a change. It's impossible, but God, change me. I'm like a leopard. I can't change my spots. But you can change me. For others, it may be the salvation of family. Maybe there's just someone really on your heart. You want to see him saved. God is saying, ask me this morning. But here somebody would say, but Pastor Tim, I've already prayed these prayers. I've already prayed these prayers. I've already asked God for a changed heart. I've already asked God that he may increase in my life. I've already prayed and asked for loved ones to be saved. I've already done that. But brothers and sisters, what we have to understand is this is a very sacred moment. If we realize it or not, right now is a very sacred moment. Why? Because I know the Spirit of the Lord put this message on my heart. So I know God is in heaven looking at this body saying, ask me. Ask me again. It's not that I didn't hear your prayers the first time. I heard your prayers and I'm working in your prayers. But at this moment, I'm telling you, ask me again. Sure, it's a hard thing. It's an impossible thing. But my ears are inclined and my power is available. Ask me again. And beloved, that's what we're going to do. That's our altar call. I feel like there are people here this morning, you just have some things on your heart that are impossible. But God is saying, ask me. Because nothing is impossible with God. Ask me. Is it your children? Ask me. Is it your family? Ask me. Is it more of Christ? Ask me. Because with man it is impossible. But nothing is impossible with God. Ask me. Stand with me this morning.